This wasn't the first time that I've brought a medium back with a lot of help from a lot of people. But I was able, from the very moment it seemed like a good idea, to watch the progression. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about that and discuss the rebirth of Flash. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Peter Healy, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. I became aware of Flash as a plug-in and part of the web the same way a lot of people did. I was told that to see some sort of content on a web page, I'd have to install something, and then it would just work. I'd get animation, video, audio in my browser. It would seem like a movie or a television, and I'd never have to think about it again. The proposition was enticing, and the rewards were great. Depending on when you come into the web, Flash is either something that's always been there, or you remember the moment it became part of the web. And it changed utterly our relationship to web pages. They were originally HTML files dictating to us through a set of directives that were all put under a worldwide standards group how we were going to see text and images, maybe some audio, in a very few rare cases, some video. And it would all just work, bend to the will of the different devices being used to view it. It was that very specific, universal feel that made the web so magical. But this Flash plugin promised us so much more. Flash, after all, was designed in the early parts of the web to be a simple way to put video and audio in vectors and image files and provide them on a web page without being concerned about whether or not the machine had to handle whatever the downloads were. Flash promised us it would just work. It was interactive. It was fast. It felt, honestly, like the next level. Between 1999 and 2005, Flash ruled the roost, really without any peer or competition. Microsoft attempted something called Silverlight. There were some built-in browser features that attempted to take on Flash, but it was unquestioned that if your company wanted to do something with what they called a rich multimedia experience, you were going to have to do it in Flash. But there were two problems. It was a black box. It was a program that came from a company called Macromedia, later Adobe, and you had to just trust that this .exe file was going to make things work. Additionally, only Flash decided what Flash was. If there were bugs or changes in how things worked, people had to adjust to it on Flash's time. Whenever a new version would become available, new features were added, but often old features worked differently. So you'd have to update your Flash files to be able to make them work in version after version of the Flash projector. By the late 2000s, Flash is a problem. It is buggy, it is unpredictable, it's also vital. It's a foundational part of what we think of as the web. It's controlled by one company who are maintaining it both as the function it used to serve, that is to say, a window into graphics and sound, but also as a jumping-off point for a variety of Adobe products and support, meaning it's bloating, it's becoming untenable. It's absolutely got fundamental problems. And in the slow, grinding way that web standards happen, functional changes to HTML itself mean that Flash is destined to become obsolete. Some people, with the fundamental nearsightedness of history and hindsight, decide that the death of Flash comes with the Steve Jobs letter about Flash not being installed on the new iPhone, iPad, and other devices being made by Apple, because Jobs had determined that a majority of problems with their systems were coming out of bugs with Flash. Ultimately, this causes a huge controversy, but it said that is the fundamental start of the decline and the death of Flash. In 2011, Adobe decides they are going to end-of-life Flash at some point. They don't do it till 2017. In 2017, they'll declare it to be 2020 that the last bit of Flash will be supported and the plugins will be removed from the web. Let's just take a moment to talk about everything Flash was. Because it was so easy to create both animation and programs that would manipulate that animation interactively, it becomes a jumping-off point, not just for creative works being made by studios and individuals alike. It becomes a way to make simple and then not-so-simple games for people who are just starting out as programmers or for firms to offer this as one of their options. A design firm will do what it takes to learn as much of every medium that they can so that when a corporate customer comes in and asks for it, they can provide it. And there are some beautiful, locked-down, weird works created by small design firms in Flash at the direction of a company with $20,000 to spend and a wish to put out an interesting holiday card. Similarly, there are a whole bunch of individuals who want to make a splash, so they create a Flash animation that uses all sorts of technology to be both full of Easter eggs and also to be able to run on maximum machines without having to learn all of the ins and outs of those machines. So Flash is really a shim for getting your creative works where you need to, either for self-satisfaction, for a salary, to fulfill some sort of requirement on a contract, and in a few or not so few sad cases, to function as the fundamental interface to an application. Like throwing things out a window to dispose of them. If you eventually look at the pile of Flash that's created by the end of the 2000s, it is formidable. It's hundreds of thousands of individual works, ranging from truly original creations all the way down to clones and also-rans and somebody experimenting with somebody else's decompiled Flash and making some parody or weird version of the original. It becomes, in other words, an entire medium. So the 2011 announcement by Adobe is met with a healthy amount of skepticism and a small amount of hand-wringing about what it all means. The definitive 2017 announcement is what really sets things going. Now, you see, we're in a situation. Flash is going to die, and it's going to take an entire generation of the web with it. Well, what do you do? What do you do when you face that? And I wish I could say this was the very first time that I've walked out into a field that was once fertile and vital, and it was now a pile of bones being swept away and helping to decide how we were going to in some way commemorate, memorialize, and bring back what this once was. But it's not. And I guess it won't be the last. So here's what the world came up with in terms of Flash. There had been multiple attempts to make open source, open standard Flash emulators. Projectors that were completely modifiable, understandable, and which would allow you to play Flash far beyond what Adobe had decided the schedule was. In a few cases, Adobe had come in and quashed the projects. In other cases, the pure, formidable project was too much for one person managing it or beyond the skills of the group of people who had decided they wanted to take it on. So for a long time, things looked pretty dim. Adobe wasn't going to let it live. Adobe wasn't going to let others let it live. Since the 2008 YouTube revolution, video had taken over for Flash when it came to multimedia. You lost a lot of the interactivity, you lost the ability to play games, but people love watching television. So Flash creators saw where the wind was going, and many of them had transcoded their Flash animations into video. And where we once had these interactive Flash animations on sites, we would now have embedded YouTube, providing the video version of what was there before. Some of the true stars of early Flash animation had turned all of their products into DVD. They'd seen the wind blowing a long time ago, and they'd made decisions, wise decisions, to follow where things needed to go. But this left in the lurch thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of works done by teenagers in their spare time 20 years ago, by studios no longer around, by people who had no incentive to figure out how they were going to make these SWF and other files live again. And I was concerned. We'd been collecting SWF files since the beginning. The Wayback Machine has millions of these files, gathered over the decades from all sorts of domains, both living and dead, and it was possible, we'd proven this, to extract the SWF files out and be able to run them through a player. So we knew in some way that the evidence wouldn't be gone forever. But that's not how people work. You had to make old software live again as easily as possible, using as few clicks as possible, and with as little trouble, if you were going to have any hope of it becoming part of the modern conversation. It's one thing to tell people you have to go grab the file, download this program that will probably play the file, download these support files for the program, and hope for the best, and then come back and discuss it in any depth. This was something we had addressed with the emularity. But where were we going to find a Flash emulator? Now here's what happened. Earlier this year, somebody decided to try to jam a Flash emulator into the emularity, the emulation framework we had at the Internet Archive. They'd gotten it wrong, fundamentally wrong, but not in a way that was embarrassing or bad, just trying to make a bunch of technologies work together that were having no conversations. So I took what they'd done, messed around with it, discovered that I had problems with it, and at that point, I started to gather people. This is how I learned about the Ruffle project. Ruffle is yet another attempt to emulate Flash, but it has a lot going for it. It's being run by a nonprofit group. The developers have wide-ranging and deep experience with application development, and it's dedicated to getting it right the first time. They've been studying the spec, they've been trying to understand exactly how Flash does what it does, and then building it from the ground up with as much clean, original code as possible. And I found them very easy to work with. So I proposed that the Internet Archive start using it. It took about 12 hours to get Ruffle working in the emularity on the Internet Archive. From that point on, it became a race. I knew people would figure it out, and in fact, within a day or two, some of the more hardcore followers of the Internet Archive had figured out not only that we emulated Flash, but how we did it, and they began uploading their own copies. I also knew it was a race to find as much of what would be the canonical Flash that represented the standard idea of what Flash was. Moving through bundles of zip files and finding classics and figuring out which ones were the good versions and which ones had been modified, building some sort of framework of collections and defining things as animation, games, toys. This was how I spent a month. For people who I know are going to think about Flash for about 90 minutes. People start up an animation that everyone tells them they should try. It's funny. They laugh. They're done. It's what people call disposable, but what they really mean is that it's transient entertainment. That's the majority of Flash for people. So you want to set up a display case for people where they come in, see some of the things that they remember, enjoy them, say that it's all a good endeavor, well worth their time, and then move on. Now, there's a project I haven't mentioned yet, and it's called Flashpoint. It's run by Blue Maxima, who is an archive team member, and it's an attempt to get all web-based animation up and running on your local machine in a fast, dependable, compatible way, and to be able to take in entire ecosystems from the 1990s and 2000s. This is not an emulator. This is an actual recreation of an operating system to play various original applications on in a protected environment and be able to run the original files with original output and accurately represent what's gone. It is, and I stress this, many times more ambitious than what we're doing with emulating Flash. It's one thing to have a spec, and even though it's complicated, involved, and needs a lot of skill, you're still focusing along one vector. You have one very specific environment, and you're trying to recreate it as best you can. What Flashpoint's doing is collecting literally hundreds of gigabytes of files, trying to sort, curate, figure out how well they work, and then make them playable across dozens of individual versions of players, and making sure the whole thing doesn't come crashing down in redundancy, misery, and slog. They've been at it for years, and they've got years of work ahead of them. I salute everything about Flashpoint. In the Internet Archive's smaller, more focused project, people have learned that we have this going on, and thousands of people have come wandering in. The audience is growing daily. There's the usual comments of, call me when you have this, and we usually do, or people asking why we would even want to do this, or using these original works as a way of talking about your own experience with them. That is the function of a library, of an archive, to be a platform for people to come into contact with older pieces of expression they otherwise would have to go through a lot of effort to get their hands on, and then letting them fly with it, improvising, writing, considering, sharing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this. I think it's really just amazing that the Internet Archive can play a part in society like this. The fact that all of these works are coming back again, that they're becoming part of the conversation again, and I see things that are 10, 15, 20 years old, delighting and filling people with wonder. The fact that I'm seeing people interacting with these works for the very first time and they're being judged on those merits, that is a thrill. And now that I'm down in the trenches, looking at clone after clone, playing game after game whose entire purpose is to serve as an ad for orange juice or a design company or a television network, I know that for all their silliness, their disposability, their lack of being the center of the conversation, I'm really enjoying feeling the very same things I felt when I first played with Flash decades ago. That sense that you probably weren't going to see something special, but with every click to start it playing, you might just encounter something that you'll remember forever. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Emilio Oliveira, Forrest Fuqua, James Bakoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Scott McGrady, Scott Roseanne, and Wayne Arthurton, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. If you go to the Internet Archive, look up Software Library Flash, you will see a steadily growing set of animations, toys, games, and who knows what else. Besides what I'm putting in, people are coming from all over the world with all sorts of zip files containing Flashes that mattered to them and which they stored away impulsively years ago because they felt that someday they'd be needed again.